So I thought, it's summer, it's hot, people don't want a heavy, long, weighty service. They want something light. So I promised everyone in my e-message this week that I would give you a sermonette. And only after I did that did I realize it is pretty much impossible for a rabbi to deliver a sermonette. Because to me, a sermonette is 5 minutes and out. And it was a tough, tough task. But anything for you guys. So I think, actually, I didn't quite make 5 minutes. But, you know, it's within a few minutes. And just by the way, the clock has not started. This is the introduction to the sermon. So none of this counts toward my time. Okay, go. When I was growing up, my childhood rabbi taught us two somewhat inappropriate songs that involve the story in this week's Torah portion. The songs include mention of an animal, the animal that's pictured on the front of your service folder, that Bilam rode on, the donkey. But of course the songs used a different word that could be used to replace donkey. That's considered a bit more rude. So that's how I know the story of Bilam from this week's Torah portion. So if you didn't grow up in the 70s, when rabbis apparently didn't think it was inappropriate to teach rude songs to their young congregants, you might not be aware of this strange and probably satirical story. The Reader's Digest version is that Balak, the king of Moab, is threatened by all the Israelites that have made their way across the wilderness, and he hires Bilam, who has some kind of special wizard powers, apparently, to put a curse on the Israelites. Bilam takes this well-paying job, and he makes his way on his donkey to do his cursing thing. Well, the donkey suddenly stops short and will not move, so Bilam starts whacking him. Finally, Bilam is able to see why the donkey has stopped. There's an angel of God right in front of him, there to speak God's words to him. Then the donkey, only one, by the way, of two animals who speak in the Torah. What's the other animal? Oh, who said that? Who said snake? Okay. Here. Sorry, Hallie. Okay, I'm sorry, I did not mean to assault you. And Bev, I do have another one for you after. I shouldn't have tried that. I was really overestimating my abilities there. Okay, so the donkey says to Bilam, "Hey, why do you think I stopped if I didn't have a good reason? Haven't you owned me for a lot of years and you know I've never done this before? What's wrong with you?" Anyway, God does not want Bilam to go to curse the Israelites. God's angel tells him, "Do not do it." But finally, God says, "Well, okay. If you really want to do this, then go. But what comes out of your mouth, what you intend to say, will not be what you think it is. It's going to be." As it turns out, every time that Bilam looks at the Israelites and he opens his mouth to curse them, what comes out of his mouth are blessings that God has composed for him. Each time this happens, the Moabite king Balak is furious with him. "I hired you to come all this way to give the Israelites curses, not blessings. What's wrong with you?" Well, this happens 3 different times and includes the beautiful blessing that we sing Shabbat morning and that we started our service with tonight. Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, O people of Jacob. And Balak finally just says, "Oh, forget it, you're useless." And Balak goes home, and Bilam goes home, and that's the end of the story. So, what do we learn from this odd and somewhat whimsical story? A number of commentators note that God, who at first insists that Bilam not carry out Balak's plan, ends up ultimately giving Balaam permission when God sees how set Balaam is on going forward. However, God says, okay, you can go on this mission that you're set on, but it will not turn out the way you think it will. Interesting. The journey Balaam takes, the path he chooses to walk, is neither set by God alone nor entirely set by himself. Just like on our own life journeys, sometimes we shape God's plans for us, and sometimes God shapes our plans. Each of us lives a life that is partly shaped by things outside our control and partly shaped by the way we personally choose to interpret and respond to those things we can't control. Think of a time when you were sure something was easily going to go your way, the way you perfectly envisioned it in your mind. And then it didn't. You may have been shocked, or disappointed, or pained. You didn't like it. But then you learned something about yourself. The experience helped you go deep. It changed you, hopefully for the better. Philosopher Joseph Campbell said, "We must be willing to let go of the life we have planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us." I'd like to bring this in line more with Jewish thinking, so I would amend his statement. Life may not be what we planned, but the life that awaits us is shaped by our choices, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. A good Jewish life is not one of passive obedience to an outside force, nor is it one in which we constantly insist on everything going our way. In the Talmud, we learn that the Balaam story is an illustration of this teaching from the rabbis. A person is walked down the path that he or she wants to walk. In this teaching, I see the idea that we may choose a path, but we don't make the journey alone, with only our own needs and desires. We are walked down the path. The needs, the desires, the randomness of others and the outside world will affect how and where we go. Life is made up of our own choices, as well as choices that are made for us. We live our best lives, a life of blessings and not curses, when we are open to many possibilities, to surprises, to change and to growth, to feedback from others, to the fact that we don't know everything, nor have the answer to everything, to know when to push and when to accept. May we learn from Balaam that when life doesn't go our way, we don't whack the messenger, but see the angel of God before us and understand that a good life isn't always the expected life. Amen.